Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Radio, where, you know, there's been a lot of talk about extremism lately. Well, I am proud to say that here we are extremists in the defense of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. And I, of course, am your extremist in chief. The Chief, coming to you from the home of another kind of extremists, Portland, Oregon. I'd like to join the show. The number here, as always, 949-272-9588. Well, what a fine day we have here. Today is about as close as I've come in quite a while to simply not showing up. Day started out okay. I knew exactly what I wanted to talk about, had a lot of things ready to go, and started doing some things having nothing to do with this show, and then everything sort of went to crap around here, and oh, like 45 minutes ago, I hadn't even started writing my notes for the show yet. I used to write my notes for the show like a day or two ahead of time. Yeah, of course, lately I haven't been doing too well at that, but nonetheless, this is a new record. However, somehow or other, I actually have at least rough outline of what I wanted to talk about today, because, like I said, I kind of knew over the last few days, you know, just looking at things, like, that's what I need to talk about this week. So, I'll get into it. In case you hadn't noticed, you know, I'm a little curious about how much I have to talk about, then I stall like I'm doing right now and stretch it out, and yeah, I should stop doing that. So, I do, of course, have a built-in stall because I have to do like pretty much everyone else in the entire universe that shows up here or someplace like here and does anything vaguely resembling what I'm doing now, and that is I have to, you know, make mention of the passing a few days ago of Rush Limbaugh. Now, obviously, for those of us who get up here and talk, us particularly, you know, conservatives, but even other people, you know, who didn't agree with a word he said, would at least in private, I think, maybe give him a little credit for how he said it and how successful he was. And all of us here, you know, I'm going to get up behind this microphone and I'm going to be the next Rush Limbaugh. And of course, there will be no next Rush Limbaugh. Somebody, I guess, will have to try and fill his place. Now, kind of interesting with me because, unlike a lot of people, at least who do this and really admired the guy, I never actually once in my life listened to his radio show. I mean, obviously, I knew what his voice sounded like. I heard, you know, numerous clips of him. I read what he had said, you know, and agreed with some of it, most of it, I guess, disagreed occasionally. Always admired how he was able to, you know, boil things down and say things that made sense. But the thing is, you know, while I used to listen to conservative talk radio like all day, every day, at least Monday through Friday, that was back for a few years when I was a truck driver by trade. I've since retired for the last few years. But back at the time, I had in my truck a satellite radio. Rush was not on the satellite. So I didn't listen to Rush because I wasn't even sure exactly what time he was on. But the others, Sean Hannity was on the satellite. Glenn Beck was on the satellite. Mark Levin was on the satellite, and various other people that I would listen to from time to time. You know, sometimes, you know, the satellite had the conservative talk, liberal talk. I'd listen to various things, but Rush wasn't there, so I really couldn't. I never actually listened to him because I wasn't going to like try and chase around the dial and try to find him. But nonetheless, I knew about him. Everyone knew about him. I was familiar enough with him to really admire him and what he did. And he will be missed. And, okay, enough about that. Because, like I said, I knew kind of what I wanted to talk about. A few things I've been seeing over the last few days really, really have me concerned. Title of the show, talking about extremism. Extremism, okay, I guess on some level it's always been something of a dirty word, but I'm old enough to remember 1964, Barry Goldwater's famous quote, extremism in the cause of liberty is no vice, or words to that effect. Yeah. So, like I started the show, if you want to call me an extremist, well, I'm extremely worried about our country. I'm extremely worried about our liberty. And some things have come to the fore lately that have really brought it to my attention. Particularly, I guess just I should kind of maybe set the little background here, just, you know, in case somebody happens to be here, doesn't know who I am or why I call myself chief. I am a retired Navy chief petty officer. So I was active duty military for over 20 years. And I'm seeing things, particularly in our military, that really have me bothered. And a lot of it has to do with what we're seeing in the greater society, at least among the left, in trying to root out extremism. Okay, what is extremism? See, that's the real problem. it seems that extremism is kind of defined as, well, whoever's in charge wants to define it. But we're getting to the point now where anything that doesn't go exactly along with the conventional wisdom is starting to be viewed as extremism. I don't know about this, but the military, they are so concerned, not sure how they're defining extremism, but it seems to be, well, okay, let's just boil this down. Who has the megaphone? These days, the left has the megaphone. You got people like me and, well, you know, we can talk, but nobody, you know, nobody pays that much attention. All the mainstream media is run by the left. The politicians, well, the leftists are in charge of all branches of the government. Those who are not leftists are barely, whatever they say is barely covered by the media, who only wants one narrative. And so anything that's not exactly with the narrative is viewed as being extreme. And so what back, you know, in to me would seem to be a sane world is, you know, just normal stuff. If it doesn't fit, it is extreme. Now, we saw over, you know, the last several weeks, the saga with former President Trump, back when he was president. And somehow, of course, you know, some people who apparently were let into the Capitol by the leftists who were in charge, but a few of them got out of hand, a very few of them actually, but enough. Some of them got really out of hand. And of course, since there were a whole bunch of people who didn't get out of hand, but President Trump talked to them and suggested that they were, that maybe they should peacefully and patriotically make their voices heard because the president disagreed with what was going on as far as the way the election results had been tabulated, and he wasn't getting the opportunity for things to be heard. I'm not going to get into the merits of his case, but I will say his case was never really presented, at least in the courts. So I know a lot of people on the conservative side tend to believe that the election was stolen. And of course, on the liberal side, if you don't agree, if you want, if you're not even allowed at this point to just say, yeah, well, okay, it looks like Biden's the president and, you know, that's it. Well, that's not good enough. If you do not say it is absolutely positively for sure that the election was totally fair and there's absolutely not a smidgen of corruption, to use former President Obama's words, not a smidgen of corruption in the election, and, you know, no, if you don't agree with that, if you don't go all in that the election was fair and Biden won completely on the up and up, well, now you're some kind of an extremist. You're dangerous. You must be made to atone. You know, sent to a re-education camp? I don't know. It's, wait a minute. I suggested something that the left has actually, yes, you don't have to look too far to find where some leftists, not a bit, but, you know, we're talking about the fringes, I'll grant you, but they're actively suggesting that. Re-education camps for people like me. Yeah, but if I even mention that some people mention it, I must be some kind of an extremist. Well, okay, now, like I said, getting off, back to the military. The military has suddenly become very concerned with extremism. I guess maybe there were a few active duty people who, you know, in their personal time off, happened to be over in the vicinity of where President Trump was speaking last January 6th. And a whole lot of veterans were there. Well, anybody who would even listen to what the current commander-in-chief had to say has to be viewed as a possible extremist. This is scary stuff. And so here's what we're seeing is going on. The Secretary of Defense, General Austin, I guess, is former General Austin. I don't remember his first name. Got it written down here somewhere. Nonetheless, he has called for, well, a stand down. Now, a stand down is something they do in the military from time to time, usually to address a specific problem. Yes, everybody kind of stops, you know, what they're doing and focuses on dealing with some issue. Usually it's kind of a more localized thing. Has to do with some, if people are noticing, you know, in a specific unit or for somewhere, maybe a safety issue seems to be prevalent. Okay, we'll stop, we'll talk about it, we'll try and find solutions. Safety is a big reason for stand downs. Occasionally, I have seen them over, if something happens where, you know, racial tensions back in the 1970s. So we'd have a stand down and we'd talk about these things and address it and try to fix it so we can all just get along. Okay, that's fine. Well, now we are going to talk about, we're having a stand down to talk about extremism. But, you know, I a little while ago I was looking through one of my I belong to a few there, Facebook groups, and one of them is Navy Chiefs group. And, and it's retired chiefs like me, active duty chiefs. And there was somebody wrote something like, what is going on? And one of the group admins, before things got too out of hand, just shut down the comments on it. Because, well, people don't want that group to get too political. You know, other groups can be political, but we try to keep things positive about the Navy, help each other. If anybody has a question, needs some expertise on whatever, that's what the group's about. But occasionally something can happen like this. And the question became, from some of the comments, who gets to decide what is extremism? Now, this is a scary thing. Because, you know, I remember, I'm going back to my days in boot camp, all the way into boot camp, 1972. There's a guy in my company, actually turned out to be kind of a good friend of mine later on, because, you know, it's because we found out we lived like about a mile from each other. We didn't know each other, went to different schools and such, but we lived in the same, you know, right there. And we ended up on the same ship, you know, just coincidence. So, you know, we knew each other, we were friends. And, well, this guy was kind of weird, but one of his weird, he was kind of a communist, not a violent guy, but he, you know, he just was one of those people who believed that as a socioeconomic system, it might be better. Okay. Well, he later on got into some trouble, and yes, the NCIS wanted to talk to me. Did I know this guy was a communist? And oh, yeah, whatever. That's what rooting out extremism used to be. Well, nowadays, I'm just beginning to want anybody who doesn't follow exactly what the current politically correct thinking is now, you know, not just somebody on the outside. No, they're an extremist. And extremists are dangerous. And so now what do we need? Do we need, like, every unit, every division to have a political officer to make sure that nobody is having any wrong thoughts? It may come to that. And I'm going to tell you what. Because, okay, what have we got? We got this social justice warrior nonsense in the Navy. There is a part of this, actually, is sort of as part of this stand down, but even before they got to this, a few days ago, before they got to this extremism, there was, people were worried there was a what was it? I forgot who the, some kind of a program, One Navy, yada, yada thing. But they came up with a program and a pledge. Here is what everybody in the Navy is, like, supposed to pledge. I pledge to advocate for and acknowledge all lived experiences and intersectional identities of every sailor in the Navy. I pledge to engage in ongoing self-reflection, education, and knowledge sharing to better myself and my communities. I pledge to be an example in establishing healthy, inclusive, and team-oriented environments. I pledge to constructively share all experiences and information gained from activities above to inform the development of Navy-wide reforms. Yeah. End of quote. This was part of some big think program, what they wanted to come up with. How about I pledge to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Yeah. Of course, part of the stand down that they come up with is everybody has to repeat their oath of office or enlistment or Yeah, why? Because if you don't, I don't know. Listen, let me give you the bottom line on this. This is dangerous stuff. Now, I've been through, my time in the Navy was, you know, I came in the Navy at the very tail end of the Vietnam War. Went through, like, the height of the Cold War, which wasn't really, of course, it was more cold than war. But I ended my Navy career right in the aftermath of the first Gulf War. Most of it was basically peacetime Navy. And there's always a lot of kind of, what we used to call, you know, chicken shit type rules and things in the peacetime Navy. Well, there's an old saying, train the way you want to fight, because you will fight the way you train. And if you're not training to kill the bad guys, break things, do all that, you're not going to be able to do that. Right now, if we are worried about intersectionality and pledging, you know, to acknowledge the lived experiences of sailors, if that's what we're worried about, newsflash, there are some people out there that don't like us. They will kill us. We will lose the next war. And that is kind of a simple fact of life that I've been going on and on about to get to this whole time. And I actually wanted, I'm just going to leave it right there, because last week I played a song by a guy named Hopalong Ginsberg about fortifying the election and all that. Well, Mr. Ginsberg is back. He has another song. There is a link in the show description. You can download this for free, just or listen to it. The link will listen to it. And it's kind of funny. So for those of us who missed the holiday spirit, well, let's listen to this.
You know Epstein and Glitter and Roman Polanski, Fogel and Watkins and Jerry Sandusky. But do you recall the most famous pedo of all? Biden, the senile pedo, liked to fondle all the kids. And if you ever saw him, you'd think that he lived on the skids. All of the other pedos thought that he was one hot mess. They never let poor Biden ride the Lolita Express. Then one fucked up primary, Obama came to say, Biden, hiding in your basement, won't you run for president? Then how the pedos loved him as they shouted out with glee, Biden, the senile pedo, you will win by larceny. Then one fucked up primary, Obama came to say, Biden, hiding in your basement, won't you run for president? Then how the pedos loved him as they shouted out with glee, Biden, the senile pedo, you will win by larceny.
And there you have it. Biden, the senile pedo by Hopalong Ginsberg. And I am out of time.